Well, wasn't that awesome?
Yes, it was.
That is a lot more difficult than they probably made it look. Thanks, Sherry and her team for organizing that and working on that so that we could be blessed. Isn't there something about hearing those words of truth through the mouths of babes? Right? It does something. Jesus absolutely loved the little children. He loved them with all of his heart. And to see them up here, I don't know, it just encourages my heart. I can't help but smile as I watch them up here singing these wonderful songs and speaking the truth of God's salvation to mankind. What a wonderful history they gave us from the reading of what is Christmas. What is Christmas? And what a wonderful story coming back from over 4,000 years ago to what happened in this event. To me, as you've heard me say, it's the greatest event that Earth has ever witnessed, about God coming to become a man to bring salvation to the people that he created. If you think about that, it is the most wonderful story that Earth has ever heard, that Earth has got to experience. That God, in all of his attributes, became a man. He gave all of that up. In Philippians 2, it talks about it. It says, being made in human likeness, becoming nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And so to hear that through the mouths of our children in this church was a wonderful thing. The whole history of how God's story of redemption to us, to come and bring salvation to us. There's a common thread as I was listening to them. Of course, it is we're on the Christmas Advent number 4 today, which is love. And the common thread through all of the history that we have with God and God with us and God with this world, the common thread is love, isn't it? It's love. God came because of love. And you heard it from Suzanne and Jameson this morning, or the Apostle Paul mentions there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. It's love. Love covers a multitude of wrongs. It covers over. God has such grace in that love. And so throughout the whole history of God with us is that common thread of love. I remember one of my mentors a long time ago as I was entering into pastoral ministry and heading out, he said, Chad, he said, you have to remember this one thing. As you're going to minister Christ to people, as you're going to minister the message of God to people, you always have to do it from a place of love. When you're sitting meeting with someone and you're counseling them, counseling has to be done from that place of love. And I've never forgotten it. His whole ministry, he worked with the poor and the broken all around the world. That was his ministry. And he worked with the downtrodden of the earth. And he went from country to country, and he served in that role. And that was the one common thread that he said, I must always counsel and minister from that place of love. And so how do we define that love of God? How can we possibly encapsulate this great love that he has for all of us as his people? How can I define that? How can I put that into words? Well, there's a few words. So you guys have heard of this. You know, the Inuit actually don't have a word for snow, but they have 25 different words to describe snow. There's all kinds of different ones. And it's the same in the Hebrew and the Greek. There's different words to describe love. And the Hebrew word that I want to talk about for love this morning is called hesed. Okay, hesed. Everybody say it after me. 1, 2, 3. Hesed. That is the Hebrew word for love. And in the Greek word, there's all kinds of different Greek words as well. There's eros, there's phileo, and there's agape. And I want to talk about agape love. Right? That is the Greek word. Ever say it after me. 1, 2, 3.
Agape.
So we have hesed in Hebrew and agape in the Greek. And what does that word mean, love? Well, agape love, hesed love, is this unconditional divine love. It's a divine love that can only come from God. That's why it's so important to have Christ in us, because that's the kind of love that the world needs. Right? I pray, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. We need his life to administer that kind of love to people. The world needs a divine love. Does the world need something like Jesus, or does it need exactly Jesus? It needs exactly him. And so we need that divine love to flow through us to others. It's an agape love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that has no strings attached to it. There is not a string attached. There is no hint of manipulation in God's love. I'm going to love you to get this. No, I'm loving you to give you this freely and completely. Amen? That's the difference between ministering love and manipulating to get love. Manipulation is I'm going to take from you, I'm going to take love from you for my good. But ministry is I'm going to give love to you for yours. Because as believers, we have the fullness of that love. Amen? Amen. We have it. It is for others, right? What tree do you know of that eats of its own fruit? Right? Its fruit is for others. And we are a branch on the vine. Our fruit is for others. And one of those fruit is fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love is the first one, Paul says. Right? He always starts with love. Love, joy, peace. But the first one he mentions is love. I want to extend a divine love to you. A love that's full of forgiveness. A love that allows you to make mistakes against me. It allows you to fail me. I will still love you anyway. See, that's the difference between covenant and commitment. When I do marriages, I make that very clear at the wedding ceremony. This is not a commitment, right? A contract says, if you do this, this, and this, and this, then I'll love you. But a covenant says, even if you do this, this, and this, I will still love you. And that is the covenant of love that God made with us. It wasn't necessarily God's commitment that brought him to earth. It was love. He made us, right? He created us. And we messed up. And God says, don't worry. I'm going to still fix it. And the healing and the salvation is going to come through my son. And you are to call him Emmanuel, Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And it's the exact love that the world needs. Do you know that you can't love nothing? Do you know love needs an object? You can't love. Love needs to love something. Love needs an object. And who did God make the object of his love? Us. Could you just ponder on that for a moment with me? Love has to have an object. You can't love nothing. Love needs something to love. And God chose all of us. I'm going to make you the object of my love. I'm going to love you because I want to be in relationship with you. Right? We want to be in relationship with someone in our likeness, right? Now, if I said, hey, I got a new friend for you and I brought in a cow, how satisfied will you be in that relationship? It'll do a whole lot of mooing, but not a lot of conversation. You want to relate to something in your likeness, right? And who's made in the image of God? It says we are. We're made in his image. And because of love, God wants to relate to us. But he knew there was going to be a process. God wasn't surprised that we were going to mess it up. But love covered over all. Amen? What a great act of love. Can you imagine? God had everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. But he chose to give that all up because he loves us that much. He wants to relate to us that much. Amen? Amen. Now that is the message of the gospel. Love came to earth. Right? I love that verse, that scripture. Right? He became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? And dwelt among us. Wow. What a message of hope. It's a message of peace, and it's a message of love. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I got told to keep it short today, so because we got lots of food. Okay, so we're going to let me pray for the food. And then we're going to, please, everybody join us. There is so much food down there. So nobody go home. Come on, let's fellowship together. Let's get to know one another. Let's get to know each other as a family, as the family of God, okay? We're going to pray. It's just buffet style. You'll grab a plate, and there's lots of food, and then go sit down. The tables are already set up for you downstairs, okay? So would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for this message of love. Thank you, God, for a love that I don't know that we will fully fathom in this lifetime. But Lord, we know it's great, and we know it's good. And our only response that we have in our English language, Lord, is to say thank you for your love. Thank you for your love that covers a multitude of wrongs. Thank you for being love. Thank you, Lord, that we can love only because you first loved us. Thank you, God, that they'll know we are Christians by our love for one another. So, Lord, we just come to celebrate you today. This is what this is. It's a celebration. Thank you for these kids who come to deliver this message of your history of goodness to us, this history of how you've loved us, how you've shown it through the centuries. God, thank you for your love that allows us to sit here free today and at peace today, because we know we can live fully loved today, not on our behavior, but because of our birthright with you, that we are your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Just bless it to our body's use today. Let our conversation be uplifting and glorifying to you. Help us to get to know one another here better, Lord, so that we really are a family here in this congregation. And thank you for those who prepared the food and made it so that we could all sit and enjoy it together. Lord, we praise you for that. And we pray this in the wonderful, most holy, and great name of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you.